Well, Ellen, oh, you're getting everybody set up. I'm very disappointed. I thought we were having Jeff Musso here.
Sorry.
Just kidding. Always a pleasure to have Paul.
Yeah.
Paul yes. Ricciardi.
That's me.
I think this is only his, what, 12th time this year?
No. I feel like I'm just like a regular okay. on the show.
Oh, you could be. No problem.
Well, we set out to help the Ankrum Opera House right. become one of the major spots here.
As long as you
in,
bring guests, you know.
Thank you.
You're always welcome.
And they've brought such interesting guests. And today they've brought Joseph Koechler.
Hello.
Yeah.
Who I think is described as a cabaret singer. Am I right about that?
I think that somebody described me that way maliciously, but I would never take that title upon myself.
How would you describe yourself as a performer?
Well, I've described myself as a singer and a writer and sometimes a performance artist. I was going to let go of that one, but then I got like this award a few years ago from the Village Voice that said Best Downtown Performance Artist. And then I thought, well, if I'm the best, then then I'll keep it.
Better stick with it. I saw a video that Paul sent me. You sent me a video yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. Was it the goth one?
Yes.
Yes, that's my favorite.
So you do videos as well.
Mm-hmm, right.
And how do they reach the public?
Just on, you know, on, well, that goth one.
YouTube and
YouTube,
stuff like that?
So that was released by Vice Magazine, I think in... 2 years ago.
I'm surprised you didn't notice, Ellen. You subscribe to Vice, don't you?
Vice Magazine.
Yeah, you subscribe to Vice, don't you?
I've never heard of it before.
Ellen, you just made a face. It's not a dirty magazine.
You're right.
It could be.
You mean it's like almost a magazine? It's like the president and the vice president? No, not that kind of vice either.
But they have they have a multi-platform these days. I mean, they have a lot of video and all kinds of things going on. They have a network too, right?
I guess a TV show. Yeah, I see posters for it. Yeah.
I met one of the founders, that crazy guy. What's his name? Gavin McInnes. Anyway.
One of the founders of Vice.
Of Vice, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, Joseph Koechler, a singer of larynx-defying range, is caught my eye.
Yeah, that's another keeper, right?
Yes.
Presents an intimate evening of his work. Stephen Holden of the New York Times has described Koechler as, quote, a singer whose range shatters the conventional boundaries of classical singing.
Wow.
Whoa! So, Paul sent us some of your music.
Why don't we also explain why he's here? He's going to perform.
Yes, he is indeed.
Locally. When?
Saturday night.
Saturday night at 8:30 at the Ankrum Opera House at 1330 County Route 7. And if you live in Hudson...
Here we go.
Yep, here we go. This is so important.
Ellen loves this.
Yeah, because Ellen's going to be on it. So, yeah, Ellen likes to throw a few back at the red dot. So,
Paul. He's participating in the fantasy.
Just stop.
No.
Stop.
Sorry.
Right now.
She's like little, you know, icy white wine. So, we've got the shuttle bus leaving the red dot at 7:45 this Saturday, and it takes people to the Opera House to see Joseph perform, and then after the show, they climb back on the shuttle bus and go back to Hudson. And this time, because our last shuttle bus got really raucous, we've got Trixie Starr as the chaperone of the bus.
Oh, that'll keep things quiet.
No funny stuff going on, Ellen, on
the
bus.
It was raucous?
That's what we heard.
I wouldn't have called it raucous.
Well, maybe I'm traumatized.
What does raucous entail?
Well, what did Ellen do is what we really want to know.
Yeah, right.
Or I can't say that.
Anyway.
But the other thing about Joseph's performance this Saturday, it's our final show of the
season. Oh, right. That's
right.
So, and by the way, do you need a reservation for that bus?
You do. You should go onto the Ankrum Opera House website, which is ankrumoperahouse.org, and you can book a ticket there because there are only a few seats left.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the performance. You perform mainly your own songs?
Yeah, I would say it's about maybe 75% my own material, and then towards the end, some other stuff. You know, a Screamin' Jay Hawkins song and some Purcell arias and a little, some Baroque stuff and a couple blues songs. I'll sing a blues song of Carol Lipnick, who came, mm-hmm. I think, and visited you guys.
Yes, she did.
This summer too, and but the rest is my songs, monologues, faux opera arias, and things of that nature.
So there you have it, folks. I it's hard to classify or describe what you're going to be doing in a short sentence.
Well, it sounds like a mashup of styles.
I would say a lot of my work has some component of autobiography. So, I have these, once I accidentally consumed a bunch of hallucinogenic mushrooms and had a kind of traumatic experience where I was thought I was possessed by demons and things like that. And so then I made a dramatic Italian aria about this. And so that's one of my popular pieces. And
right up Ellen's alley.
Right up, yeah. And so I take
she
little episodes.
The shrooms, you know?
The
she really
opera
digs the
side.
Oh,
the opera.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, right. Like you've never had shrooms.
Well, maybe on Saturday, maybe on the bus.
You're either on the bus or off the bus, Ellen.
I think that's a condition of the ride.
Right.
And the performance. We're going to be handing them out with the program.
No kidding.
You never know.
Well, I was impressed by when I heard you singing. The first thing that Paul sent was an aria, I think. It was an operatic something, and it was a very low voice. Your
right.
voice was very low. Then I listened to you singing the goth song, and it was an entirely different voice that you were using, it seemed to me.
We started with the low voice.
Well, that one is low, too, but there's another. There are other songs that where I use a kind of falsetto voice.
Mm-hmm. Are you formally trained in voice?
Yes. Yeah, I'm trained as a bass baritone vocally. But then I've developed also this kind of higher voice that I use for more like torchy, melancholy pop songs, I would
say. So who have been your inspirations for this kind of conglomeration of different styles and performance aspects?
Well, I guess I have a lot of different influences ranging from writers to singers. And
are you a big fan of Justin Bond?
I know Justin Vivian, and certainly. Justin's a great one of the best performers in the world.
He was, up here at Spiegel Tent for the summer.
Yeah, right, the residency. Yeah,
hanging around Hudson a little bit.
Yeah, so there's a space in downtown New York where people are allowed to be crazy, and so that's given me permission. And there are people like Screamin' Jay Hawkins or something who's a very theatrical performer who had an operatic element, and or Nina Hagen was somebody who had classical training but a kind of punk approach. And so there's some lineage in that way. And yeah, and then I would say maybe some humorists as well, because a lot of my work is somewhat funny. And so maybe there's a different line there.
Vocal humorists? I mean, sort of the old...
No, I would say more writers, I don't know who... Who, but just in that camp. I mean, James Thurber. I'm not sure who springs to mind, but my written work tends to be, and the shroom thing. I mean, those things are sort of funny and absurd. Mm-hmm. But Nina Hagen was absurd too, and Screamin' Jay Hawkins too, but kind of also scary.
I'm ready for all that.
So let's play some. Let me see how this comes up here. See what we get here. Oh, that's not it. Oops, wrong file. Here we go. Oh, okay. So let's see what we got here. We have Hope Street. Kamikaze excerpt. Should we try that?
Well, I won't be doing that at the show, but...
How about Hope Street?
That's... Yeah, if you want to do the low thing, is there the Death and the Maiden thing? I think that looks like the fourth dime. I have 20/20 vision. I can't.
The Merkenhall?
I don't have any. That's Prelude.
Strangers from the Internet.
So maybe there's an earlier.
Some unmastered thing, whatever that says. Okay, let's just try this one.
Okay.
It's like record roulette.
So, what kind of accompaniment will you have?
I'll have Dan Bartfield playing violin. I've worked with him for years, and he was on that track. He helped arrange that, and Matthew Marsh, who's a pianist.
That reminds me a little of the artist formerly known as Anthony. Anthony,
mm-hmm.
Is that a, you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
What's his
new
name?
I think it's Anoni.
Anoni,
yeah.
I guess just because of the falsetto and the melancholy.
But
right.
There's also something really, I mean, when I hear not just that song, but when I hear other pieces of yours, not so much, well, even the opera, there's something really cinematic about your music. It's like I immediately go into, in my mind as an audience member, into like landscapes, and sort of I sort of have the sense of movement as I listen to the music.
Yeah, I think for me wandering seems to be a motive. A lot of my videos are kind of about wandering, and so I'm making a video for that song right now, and it's just a figure who's kind of looks like something bad maybe happened to him, and he's walking through a town at night, and looking at these houses. So,
can people see most of your videos on YouTube?
They can.
Just put
If you go to my website, there's a video page that has them all compiled.
Now, am I allowed to ask questions too, as the guest?
Of course.
One of the first.
As long as they're good.
I think they're good. So, Joseph, one of the first videos I saw of yours, it was a song that you played at Pangea.
What is Pangea?
Pangea's in the East Village.
Oh, it's a club.
Yeah, it's a club. It's a cabaret venue. Was what's the name of the song? Is it the Ride?
Yeah, and I just sent that song to you, by the way, so you could forward it to them.
Yeah. So the Ride is and the video is beautiful, and Edgar Oliver is in the video, who's this amazing performance artist. How did that all come about?
Yeah, Edgar is Edgar is a celebrated New York monologuist and actor who has a kind of gothic aesthetic and is, and you know, and he, so I thought he would be a good kind of figure, like Karen, who takes people over the river Styx, you know. But I thought, well, in the popular imagination nowadays, a lot of times there's not a ferryman, it might be an Uber driver who's taking you to hell. And so I asked Edgar if he would do it. I mean, we'd been on some bill together in a windy garden some Halloween night, and we like each other's work. And so Edgar said, well, yes, I would love to, but I only have a learner's permit. You know, but we were able to fudge it. So.
Yeah, it's a beautiful. The video is beautiful, and Joseph, I was just forwarded me the song.
Those two that I sent.
Is there a magical way I could send this to you?
Or better yet, you can play it right off your phone there. Hold on.
Fabulous! It's
you got to download.
That's okay.
Just a moment, ladies and gentlemen, for technical support here.
While we're setting that one up, why don't we play this one? Okay, we'll play the ones that you're more recent.
Yeah, that was a recording. I think it's off of you. It's from Merkin Hall from this thing. So I didn't write that song. That's an old standard that, you know, Paul Robeson sang and Coco Taylor and all this stuff. But after that performance, I got to meet Joan Rivers, who was standing in the lobby and she pointed at me, and in a kind of, you know, ominous way. Huh. And
let's see if this now works. Hold on.
This is one of my favorites.
What's this called?
The Ride.
Long nights always bring me down. Do you agree? Okay, drive me. Understand myself.
Have you ever thought of developing a sort of full theatrical musical of any kind?
Yes, I've worked a lot in art and theater, and so yeah. I don't really like musicals, but I yeah. wrote some perverse musicals with a woman named Erin Markey and a performance artist, and then I have a lot of work that's kind of like. I guess it's solo performance with monologues and stuff. So I've done a lot of that type of work. And right now I'm doing more like, the concerts but I'll develop other performance pieces too that'll be in, theatrical.
So you don't
context.
See yourself ever doing like a full scale production of like a Sweeney Todd there?
You mean something that I
wrote? Yeah, something that you wrote, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it could happen, mm-hmm. I'm sort of fluid in terms of format, so, I think I'm working on one piece right now I'm taking operatic death scenes, and I'll die over and over again, and weave my own material through that, and I think that might result in a theatrical performance piece eventually.
Well, we have one more here that we'll listen to. And what's this one called?
I think this is actually not opera technically, but a kind of classical death thing with, I think it's a Schubert thing that I introduce.
Okay, let's try this one now.
See if it works, yeah. I have a feeling that a man in a Lincoln Town car is going to pull up outside your house and call you on your cell phone and say, "I'm here." And you, being puzzled but also curious, will probably go outside to see who he is. But then when you catch a glimpse of him through the slightly tinted passenger side window, he'll have second thoughts. But then he'll roll down the window, and he will say to you this:
"Schön und sanft.
Well, oh, there's more.
I think that was just a button.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, all those voices were Joseph Koeckler, who's in the studio with us, along with Paul Ricciardi and, of course, Ellen Thurston. And he'll be performing Saturday night.
You got it.
8 p.m.
8:30. But you can show up at 8. It's fine.
8:30 over at the Ancrum Opera House. Paul brings in good guests. I got to tell you.
He does.
They entertain.
He
they sing.
Ancrum Opera House.
Ancrum
House.
And they,
their first season.
Their first season, and they did it so quickly and so well.
Well, thank you. I mean, in a way, we did it quickly, but you know, the other thing was that it's something that Jeff and I, Jeff Musso being the other director of the Opera House, had been thinking about for a long time. You know, it's so it was.
And you know a lot of performers too.
Well, we do, we do, and I think what's been great is that we're just very clear on what the vision is and what's appropriate for the space. And you know, it's not all musicians are appropriate, but someone like Joseph Koeckler, where it's you feel like the performer's reaching out to you. I mean, and that the audience is very much a part of the experience, which isn't always the case with a live musical performance. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just clear to us that that's what we wanted, and so because we had that vision, I think it made our first season really easy in a way. Well, not really easy at all, but you know. Yeah.
So 8:30 at the Ancrum Opera House, and this has been their first season. They've had theatrical performances, a story telling
modeled
event.
After the Moth. Yeah. Yeah, that was
and what you
great.
For lack of a better term called cabaret.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Joseph, people are calling you a cabaret performer, but you don't. What's up with that?
Well, I don't really embrace the term because I think it's just not my frame of reference. So, you know, it makes sense. I mean, I sing and I'm sort of theatrical and I address the audience. So it makes perfect sense. But I think that tends to imply something different. Somebody who's
American
drawing on
American
songbook.
Right,
I mean, like that song Blue Prelude.
Right.
You know, but I think for somebody like Carol Lipnick or myself, since we predominantly generate our own material, or I'm playing with classical things in a certain way, but reframing them. I think cabaret has the wrong connotations. So category is always a bugaboo, but doesn't titillate me.
It defies description.
Yeah, you just used titillate and bugaboo. Just noting that.
They're best together.
Yeah.
And where are you from, Joseph?
I'm originally from a small town in West Michigan.
Yeah. And you're trained in the Midwest or in New York?
Yeah, I guess some of both. I went to school in the Midwest. Sorry, Ellen. I just kicked Ellen with my big boots. it's a nervous habit. But I trained as a visual artist and a singer there, and then I kept studying with people when I moved to New York, too. And
have you ever sung opera? I mean, performed opera?
Yeah, I've been in some operas. I mean, and you know, lately not as much in actual operas. Last year, I was in something by a composer named Dave Malloy at Lincoln Center, and I was playing an opera singer, which involved singing operatically in this kind of musical fantasia about Rachmaninoff. And a composer named Alexandra Vrabelov, who writes a lot for the Kronos Quartet, she's written a song cycle for me that'll be, you know, somewhat operatic. Mm-hmm. And so that'll take place in the classical world somehow. But, you know, I do a lot of my own work, and I'm kind of more in different sorts of music venues and in the art world more than the opera world proper.
So, Paul, how did you become aware of his work?
How did we do it? We met Carol Lipnick through the Weimar, New York at the Spiegel Tent, and then saw her at Pangea, and her agent, Earl Dax, said, you might want to meet this Joseph Koeckler guy. And so we immediately saw his work online, and we would, like, both Jeff and I were immediately inspired. And you know, again, it's when we're bringing music to the Ankrum Opera House, it has to be appropriate for an intimate space, and it has to be theatrical. And so Joseph had both of those things. And so then we went and saw him at Pangea, and we were just really taken with his work. And that was that.
Be careful. It's a very small space. It could blow the roof up.
We want that to happen. And we have skylights.
That would be fun,
wouldn't
it?
Yeah, that would be fun. We want that
skylights.
To happen.
Mm-hmm.
Since you're not performing until Saturday, I recommend tomorrow night you go over to the Demolition Derby at the Columbia County Fair.
Oh, is that tomorrow? Yeah, is that where the buses crash into each other, or is it the cars?
The cars.
Wow, I want to see the bus
night.
One.
I went last night. There were minivans and...
the minivans.
Those were good.
That's my favorite. Cars crashing into each other. Love it.
Are there people in the cars?
They're driving them. Yeah.
Drivers.
Yeah. Demolition Derby.
Tom said they don't... They take the glass out of the windows and things of that sort.
They're wearing
make
their
it less
belt.
Dangerous.
Come on.
They're wearing, and helmets.
Yeah, and helmets. You know, what could happen?
I think it'd be very inspiring.
A lot.
Yeah. I love a good crash-up derby.
Oh, there you go. See? I'm not the only one, Ellen. She thought I'm nuts.
I think it sounds good. It sounds... That's performance art. There's
totally.
Physical...
Sure.
You know,
did you ever see the movie Crash?
Comedy.
Did you ever see the movie Crash?
Yes, yeah.
Remember when the one character puts on famous crashes? He puts on performance pieces?
Yes.
Ilias Koteas, the actor, mm-hmm. plays that character. And I think they do Jane Mansfield's car crash as a performance piece.
Yeah. Well, Happy Days has a really great episode when Pinky Tuscadero is in a crash up derby with Fonzie. It's my favorite.
Sounds good.
She gets hurt.
Oh,
you boys. Boys will be your boys, I guess.
My wife liked it.
I know.
Wow. Anyway, we've been talking to Joseph Koeckler, we've been listening to Joseph Koeckler, and he's here with Paul Ricciardi, who... with Jeff Musso, runs the Ankrum Opera House, and they've had their first successful season. Well, a successful first season.
Yeah, their first
and all. Yeah, they had a lot of crappy ones, but they finally had a good one. no, their first season, and it's been successful. So thank you guys for coming in.
Oh, thank you.
Have a full house.
Thank you.